Lying in an ER, dazed and confused, my body numb, trying to hold back the tears. Thinking to myself, would I ever walk again? Was this worth it, the risk? Ever since I was a little boy, I was raised around race cars. To go fast, the faster the better. I started roller skating when I was 9 years old. Within a few years, I joined the local roller skating team, where I accumulated a whole room full of trophies. By the time I was 16, I was traveling around the country, competing on a national level. The opportunity of a lifetime came when, 17, a four-man relay team I was on had the chance to skate and go to the Pan America team. We were about to win race, but one of my teammates left the box early. And when he did, our dreams went out with him. I was crushed, but I could always try again because I was going to be a speed skater for the rest of my life. The following year, I was at the starting line. This time, I was behind the wheel of a 1969 Chevy. When I wasn't at the roller rink, I was at the racetrack. It was Memorial Day weekend, leading up to the summer of 79. I could smell the high-octane fuel in the air and the fresh dirt. As I looked over at the stands at the Interstate Speedway outside of Jefferson, South Dakota, you could smell the excitement in the air that day. The first time I'd ever race against my hero, my dad. This was one of the most important days of my life. When the flag dropped, it was every man for himself. Thundering motors, cars banging into each other, metal bodies. This was racing. All of us fighting for that top spot. Before I knew it, I was in second place. I was behind my dad. This was my moment to shine. I slid on the inside of him, banging into his car. As I pulled up next to him and started pulling away, he shook his finger at me in his head and smiled. The next lap, pop, slides right back into me, and I hit the wall hard. He was teaching me how to race with the big boys. Let me know, even though I was his son, he wasn't gonna make it easy on me. Racing was racing. I was getting a firsthand lesson from the best racer I knew. When it looked like my dad was gonna win, something happened to his car and he pulled into the pits. That put me back into the lead. The white flag waving. Once again, I could taste the thrill of victory. I was gonna beat my old man. I could see the people at the fence cheering as I rounded turn number one. I was grinning from ear to ear, telling myself I got this. Going through turn number two, I saw my pit guys yelling and screaming. The car started shaking, there was something wrong, and then it happened. Halfway through turn number three, I lost control. The left rear tire came off my car, causing it to roll. My five-point harness seatbelt had broke, and now my body tossed around the car like a rag doll. Then everything stopped. I could smell the wreckage. My flesh was burning. I was having an out-of-body experience, hovering over the car, looking down at the madness. I heard someone yell, "The car's on fire, get him out." The real race for my life began that day. There was bumps and bruises all over my body. I'd broken my leg, punctured a lung, busted my back at level T3, 4, and 5. On the ride to the hospital, I could hear the EMT say, "This boy's probably not gonna make it." I was just 18 years old. I spent the next month and a half fighting for my life in intensive care, and another year in the hospital, trying to cope with the reality. The morphine, the Demerol, the Valium, nothing could take this pain away. I went to Omaha Rehab Hospital, where I was taught how to put my clothes on, bathe, but it didn't teach me how to live in a wheelchair. I would cry, give my legs back. Where's my magic? After I was out of the hospital, I tried to numb my pain. It was the alcohol and cocaine. But cocaine was a rich man's drug and I couldn't afford it. So I started selling something I was so totally against. The drugs consumed most of my 30s. They helped me escape from who I was in this wheelchair. But they also took away from my mom, the person that believed in me the most, and it stole time from my son who didn't know me. I was facing, at this time, 5 years in prison and still couldn't stop using. My mom never gave up on me. She knew my pain. She knew it like it was her own. Ever since the accident, my mom would tell me, Lloyd, God don't make no junk, but he does allow special angels with broken wings to sit in wheelchairs and touch people's hearts. I'd scream at my mom and tell her if there was a God, he wouldn't have did this to me. God wasn't driving that race car. I fought this wheelchair for 20 years and it almost beat me. I learned today to accept my hardships and it is a true pathway to peace. That was something my mom knew in her heart. When my mom was on her deathbed, I promised her that I was gonna get clean. At that moment, I remember my mom looking up and saying, thank God I got my son back after 20 years. Hallelujah. I became a drug and alcohol counselor. I started one of the largest Narcotics Anonymous meetings in the state of Iowa. I went back to race cars. I can ride horses and quad runners. I loved a whitewater raft. I even got to pilot an airplane. I believe today I can stand as tall as any man in this room without standing at all. At the age of 58, I'm grateful for my handicaps because through them, I have found myself, my work, and my God. With this big will, I have the power to touch everybody's hearts here the way my mom knew I could. So I asked myself, was the risk worth it? Yeah, my heart says yeah. Remember, guys, where there's a will, there's a way.
Lloyd Lee shared his story at Ode's Life Storytelling event last month. The theme was risk. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week,
I wanted what Carlos Castaneda called the company of my own kind. I wanted to hang out and talk shop with other actors, where the craft of acting was ordinary as a cup of coffee.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It's produced by Siouxland Public Media. Our next show is Friday, April 6th at the Marquee in downtown Sioux City. The theme is Just Keep Going, and it's inspired by this year's One Book, One Siouxland selection, Hidden Figures. Tickets are available at kwit.org. You can also listen to past stories online and learn more about Ode on Facebook. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Ellie Carson.
He's got 500 nautical miles to forget that smile. So he's looking at the stars to get by for a while. Captain says they'll be sure by the morning light. And the sunlight will be the key to unlocking the memory that he will see. For he left his love, sat in lonely solo at the altar with promises unkept. And he never can forget. No, he never can forget. The midnight air ingrains I blow through a boy's already beaten shame. So now he's standing there in that midnight salty air, wishing he could brush back her hair, brush back her hair. You know there's no shame in being afraid, but this man promised bravery to another name, to another name. So he'll be using nautical miles to forget those lies. A promise, noble action in good time. But that sun is now arising on that distant horizon. The pain of regret is settling in his bones. He looks towards that shore alone. But oh, he knows she's standing alone. The approaching shore ingrains a blow to a boy's already beaten shame. So now he's standing there in this midnight shorty air. He has everything to fear, everything to fear, everything to fear. What did he gain? A thought that will ruminate for the rest of his days. So he'll be using nautical miles. Forget those miles. He'll be using nautical miles to forget those lies. And he'll be using nautical miles to forget those eyes. He'll be sailing for a while, sailing for a while, sailing for a while. He'll be sailing for a while, sailing for a while, sailing for a while. Sailing for a while. Sailing for a while. Sailing for a while.